empty this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you feel the presence of the Lord this morning? Amen. He'll do more in a moment's time than we could ever do on our own. Amen. The power of worship, the tool that breaks the yoke, that opens our hearts, that opens our eyes, that opens our ears to hear and to receive from God and to feel His presence in our life. And, you know, we've talked already about the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the force of God that's within us. And the Scripture declares that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. How many know there is a voice inside of you? There is a power inside of you. The Scripture says, I and my Father will come and take up our abode within you. Hallelujah. He's in the house. Amen. He's in the house. And He works in all of our lives, in all the areas and the directions of our lives. I'm thankful for what God has done. I'm thankful for deliverances in our house. I'm thankful that God, we have testimonies that says God does deliver. God does set you free. God does preserve you. God does save you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for all that. I'm thankful for those who are working in on behalf of those that are struggling. How many know every one of us in here struggle at times in our lives? And so, you know, none of us has any place to point fingers or to, you know, to point out anybody else's. How many know we've all struggled in areas? Amen. Where we are dependent on something other than Jesus. Anybody in here ever been dependent on anything other than Jesus? Sometimes we forget. Hallelujah, that we can depend on Him, that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. And so I am thankful for those things. Hallelujah. I wasn't able to be there last night because I had another commitment at another church, and so I was not able to be there, but I did stop by at the beginning of it. Hallelujah. But I thank God for what He is doing in our church. I thank God for what He's doing in our community. I thank for what He's doing in our families and what He's doing in our lives. Amen. It is only the power of God in your life, hallelujah, that will bring about His purpose and His dealing and His calling in your life. Hallelujah. I love to pray for the little ones. I love to pray over their destiny. I love to pray over their callings. I love to pray over their purpose of God. I mean, they have just as much purpose as you have. Hallelujah. And if they figure it out earlier than we do, we're just that much farther ahead. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of us wait till we get to my age and then decide what we want to be when we grow up. Amen. Hallelujah. But I believe God can speak clearly in our lives and in our directions, you know, and I think it's the time of year when our kids, some of them are getting ready to graduate and they're making big decisions about where to go to college and what the next step of their life is. How many know those are big steps? Hallelujah. Some are getting married. Some are graduating. Some are having babies and some are becoming grandmas and some of those things are happening. How many know those are all changes that are exciting and they're new and hallelujah. Thank God that He's in the midst of all of that. Amen. You can do it with Him or you can do it without Him, but I don't recommend you do it without Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I recommend that you pray and seek God for your life, for your direction, for your calling, for your marriages, for your families, for your kids. Amen. Hallelujah. The power of prayer. And I believe sometimes we underestimate the power of prayer in our lives. Hallelujah. And I want to give God glory tonight because one of ours and those of our kids that were in accident, we prayed last night. That report is they're okay. Amen. That could have been a whole lot worse report. Thank God our kids are okay. Thank God for the protection and the power of the Holy Ghost to protect them and shield them wherever they go. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't leave home without it. That commercial talks about credit cards. I can leave my credit cards at home, but I don't leave home without the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't leave home without the power of God in our life to direct us and guide us and protect us in all ways. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I have no idea what direction to go. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to John 21, but I know there's no way that I'll do it justice And I don't want to just rush through, but I'm going to go to John 21 today. And we've been talking about all of the different things, the steps and areas of the cross. And we haven't covered all of them, but last week or so we talked about the walk to Emmaus. And I love the story of the walk to Emmaus. I love how the fact that those disciples were in a place of bewilderment. They were in a place of discouragement. They were in a place where they just didn't know where to go from here. And they were starting to hear some good things. Mary Magdalene and some of them have come to the tomb and said, "He's not here. He's not in the tomb. He is risen." And so they started to reason among themselves, and they started to talk about some things they've been hearing, that maybe this really is true. Maybe Jesus is really risen from the dead. Maybe he really is who he says he is. Maybe he is really does have power over death and hell and the grave. Maybe he is the Messiah. Maybe there's something bigger here that we have not yet seen yet. And in my journey of reasoning and questioning and seeking God and saying, could these things be, and what do these things mean? I mean, in your seeking and questioning, and in your time of not understanding, and in your time of questioning, how many know God will show up in the midst of your circumstances, and you might not recognize him, you may not see him there, you may not perceive or understand everything that he's doing, but as he begins to speak in your life, and he begins to share those things. It said he began at Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and began to declare all things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Do you have 7 miles today just to spend a little bit of time with Jesus and say, just tell me all about yourself. Tell me everything about you. Tell me who you really are. Tell me what all of these things talk about. Hallelujah. Because as he really begins to speak to you, as you really begin to hear God say some things to you, and I'm not talking about hearing you from the sound of my voice, I'm talking about you hearing God speak to you. Hallelujah. The scripture says, and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Hallelujah. There was something about the way that that man spoke that caused something to come alive inside of me. Hallelujah. And I think at this point in the journey, and as I said before, I think Jesus has a little bit of a chuckle, and I think he's got a little bit of a sense of humor, and I think he just kind of grins a little bit and says, hey guys, what's all the big stir about? Hallelujah. And they said, are you a stranger? Hallelujah. Is he a stranger to you today, or do you know him? Hallelujah. Do you know who he is? Do you allow him to speak with you? Do you allow him to share with you? Do you allow him to speak into your life and declare those things concerning himself? We will be forever understanding the totality of everything that Jesus did in 3 days and 3 nights, and how that implies and empowers you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm only beginning to come to the understanding of those things which Jesus really did do and really did accomplish, and what things really were finished at Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, and he was known of them in breaking the bread, the importance of the breaking of the bread. I cannot stress to you the importance of you reading your word and your Bible at home. Amen. And I cannot express to you enough the importance of coming together in the house of God with family, in church, in an atmosphere of praise and worship, and breaking the bread together. Amen? How many know it's fun? You know, it's all right to eat by yourself, but I like to eat with somebody else. Amen? It's so much more fun at the table when there's somebody there with you. Amen. And so when we come together and we break bread, that's what God does. He reveals himself more and more and more in a greater way. And so in John 21, Jesus comes again and makes an appearance to his disciples. And I want to talk for just a moment a little bit about those disciples this morning, and then we'll go on John 21. And I'm sure I won't get it all finished. Hallelujah. I just want to share a few things with you, and I don't do it to top what the Holy Ghost has already done this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll give the kids some time downstairs and we'll share what God has for us. And I'm really not accountable for the time. So if we run over and you got to slip out, you won't hurt my feelings. How's that? If you got to roast in the oven, don't let it burn. How's that? Hallelujah. After these things, Jesus showed himself in John 21, verse 1. Again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. In other words, and he did it on this fashion. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And so these guys are gathered together at the Sea of Tiberias, or at the Sea of Galilee. How many know Jesus did a whole lot of miracles at the Sea of Galilee? And so I don't think it's by chance that they are back at the Sea of Galilee, and I don't think it's by chance that Jesus shows up there. Hallelujah. How many know when Jesus calls the disciples, when he calls Peter and Andrew and James and John, what were they doing? Fishing. Hallelujah. They were fishing. And he stands on the shore and he hollers out to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. And I say to you this morning, they probably had no idea when they responded to that call, the journey that they were going to take, the things that they would witness and see and experience for the next 3 years, the power of God in their life. And Jesus calls out to them and says to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So one of the first people that are on the shore on this day, in this time period after Jesus has resurrected, they have seen him, they've had an appearance of him, so that they know that he's risen and he's resurrected, but they're still not quite sure where to go from here. Now when they left their nets, they were fishermen and that was their job, that was their career, that was their finance. Amen. So now they're in a time period, but then when they walk with Jesus, he seemed to supply all of their need. And so for the next series of years, however much fishing they did, we don't really know. But how many know he took care of them? Hallelujah. To the point that when they needed to pay taxes, he just sends them down to where? To the sea. And tells them, the first fish that you catch, there'll be a coin in his mouth. Take the coin and pay your taxes. Hallelujah. And all of us would love to know what kind of bait you use to catch the fish that has the means to pay the taxes. Amen? And so that's one of those greatest miracles and, you know, one of those things we want to figure out. But everybody wants to catch the fish that pays the taxes. Amen? Hallelujah. And so they experienced that at the sea with Jesus when they needed to pay taxes. When they were out in a ship and it was... the winds were tossed and boisterous and Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Guess where he was at? They were on the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. And they said to him, Master, don't you care that we perish? You're asleep and the storm is about to throw us out of the boat. The ship's about to capsize and don't you care that we perish? Well, if he's asleep in the hinder part of the ship, and the ship goes down, and they perish, guess what? He's right there with them, right? Hallelujah. So they know that the ship's not going down with Jesus, but in fear, they respond to him. And how many know Jesus just stands up in the midst of the sea, in the midst of the storm, and he speaks this storm and says, oh, you of little faith, peace, be still. Hallelujah. Let me know that Jesus demonstrated himself to them over and over again. Peter had many encounters with the Lord. He was the one that when he sees him, he calls him, he says, your name is Simon. He said, but I'm going to call you Peter. I'm going to call you Petros, the rock, Cephas. Because he said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How many know? Peter was a strong pillar in the early church. He was a rock. But I don't think that's necessarily what Jesus is sharing with him there. He says to him, the understanding that Peter said, he says, Peter, who do men say that I am? So what do they call me? Who do they think that I am? And he said, well, some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. You know, they got all kinds of names for you. And he says, but Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, hath revealed that to you. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How many know Peter had some promises? Yeah. Hallelujah. He's also the one that when Jesus began to tell him about he was going to be crucified and delivered into the hands of sinful men, Peter jumped in and said, "Not so, Lord, don't let it be so." And he said, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." One moment he's got the greatest revelation, the next moment Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Hallelujah. And then he's the one that also we see he tells him, "Get behind me, Satan." He's also the one that he says, "Lord, I'll go to the cross with you. I'll die with you." And he said, "Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." Wow, there's an ego buster. You know, just about the time you think you got it all together, you know, and then, you know, you're like, "I'm with you. I got your back. I'm here for you." He said, before morning comes, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. He said, "But don't let your heart be troubled." And you've heard me preach that before. And so, and all the different things, Peter's the one in the garden when they come to arrest Jesus, that he stands up and he draws a sword and cuts off the ear of the servant. I mean, he's ready to fight. And Jesus reaches down and puts the ear back on the servant and he heals him. So Peter's had some history with the Lord. Amen. He's had some history with him. But here we find in this portion of scripture that they're all in the boat together. They got Thomas the doubter. Thomas is in the boat. He said, "Unless I can see the nail prints in his hands, unless I can thrust my hand in his side, I cannot believe that he indeed is risen." And what I love about that is Jesus does not come back to Thomas and he doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't say, "Thomas, you know," he does say, "Oh, ye of little faith, and why for didst thou doubt?" But he says to Thomas, "Thomas, if you need to see, put her there. Put your hands in my hands. Put your hands in my side. You are blessed, Thomas, because you can see, but blessed are those who can believe and not see." How many know sometimes in your life you got to believe beyond what you see? Amen. There are times in your life where you just have to believe beyond what you see, because what you see or what you're focusing on or what you're looking at the moment looks like it ain't panning out the way you thought it was going to pan out. How many know Thomas didn't think this thing was panning out the way he thought it was going to happen? Sometimes you got to believe beyond what you see with your own natural eyes or your own vision. How many know sometimes we need to enlarge our vision? Hallelujah. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be tied to cords or chains that keep us in a distance to those things when we realize we have the power over that. I was thinking this morning, for whatever reason, about, you know, an elephant. They can tie an elephant with a chain, put it around his leg or rope or whatever it is. They can tie that around him and tie him to a post and he will stay there. But if he ever finds out that he has the power over that chain, you will not be able to tie him to that chain, because he is stronger than that. And if he really wants to do it, all he's got to do is pull and he's free from what he's in. I mean, you know, sometimes we allow ourselves to be tied to some things that if we ever find out we've got power over those things, if we ever find out we can be delivered, if we ever find out that those things do not have to tie us or hold us in bondage, how many know we can break free from a whole lot of things? We just need to see beyond where we are. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we just got to believe outside of the parameters of where we are right now. Hallelujah. And so we got Thomas the doubter. And then we got Nathaniel. Nathaniel's also, they think, is Bartholomew, the apostle. But Nathaniel is the one who's under the fig tree. And Philip comes to him and says, "Nathaniel, I have found the Messiah in Nazareth." And Nathanael's response to him is, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He said, "Just come with me and see. You come and see what I'm telling you." And when he comes to Jesus, Jesus sees Nathanael and he says to him, "An Israelite in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael's like, "Wow, I perceive you are a prophet." And he said, "I saw you under the fig tree." Jesus says to him, "I saw you under the fig tree, and you are an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael's like blown away, like, "Check it out. How does he know?" You are a prophet. You have perceived. He said, because I said I saw you under the fig tree, you're impressed by that. He said, hang on, Nathaniel, because from this time on, you're going to see greater things than that. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we are drawn to Jesus by the wow factor, but he says, you hang with me long enough and you're going to see even greater things than those things. Hallelujah. How many know Nathaniel was hanging out under a fig tree when Jesus called him? And we know the fig tree a lot of times can speak of a form of religion and that man-made system of covering yourself with fig leaves and all of those kind of things. How many know God was about to take Nathaniel out of his world and put him over into a whole new world? Hallelujah. And then there was James and John, who was on the shore with Jesus that day at the boat. Sons of Zebedee, another name they called them was the Sons of Thunder. I like that. Every now and then you got to have a little thunder. Amen? Well, a couple of you said amen. How many know they had some personality? When you try to go back and look at some of their history, they had some personality. James and John, Jesus called them the Sons of Thunder. And I've run into a few sons of thunder in my time. They're usually not quiet and meek. They're usually a little loud, a little boisterous, have a little bit of tenacity. Hallelujah. Terry and I were talking about kids and stuff this morning, and, you know, said sometimes they're just wired that way. I said all the time they're wired that way. I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, no, we have some sons of thunder in this house here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with being a sons of thunder. Hallelujah. How many of Jesus had to direct them in some paths that they needed to go? Those are the kind that usually sit in the White House, or the ones that usually find cures for things they can't see. They're the ones that usually fly airplanes when everybody else tells them you can't fly airplanes. I'm thinking that probably Orville and Wilbur Wright were a little bit of sons of thunder. And when everybody said, you can't fly an airplane, they said, you watch me. I'm going to fly an airplane. And the first time it may only go a little ways. And if it only goes a little way the first time, I'm going to try it again the second time. And now we fly jets, we fly spaceships piggyback on airplanes into our next door neighbor because somebody, a Sons of Thunder, dared to believe, I really think you can fly. Hallelujah. His cabinet members were all full of all kinds of personalities. Amen. Hallelujah. They were the ones that said, hey, Jesus. He says to them, and he says, guys, it says to Thomas, or James and John, and he says, I am going to be crucified. I'm going to be delivered up. I am going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. But after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And he begins to share things with them. Well, if your best friend that you've been walking with for 3 years just told you, I'm going to die soon, what would your response be? You're going to say, oh, no, I'm not going to accept that. Anybody else have? What would you say? Somebody just told you. Well, their response is, hey, could you work it out where me and John could set one on the right hand and one on the left? That's kind of like saying, well, Andy, then could I have your Jag? That's a little bit like what it's like. They're not like, oh, man, Andy, I'm so sorry to hear about, you know, you're going to be, you know what, with us much longer, you know, remorse, tears. I mean, at least cry over me a little bit, right? They don't say, oh, Lord, you know. At least Peter said, not so, Lord. And he tells him, get behind me, Satan. James and John just said, can I sit beside you, one on the right hand and one on the left? Sons of thunder. Yep, that was them. And so that was their response to him. Could I sit on your right hand, on your left? And he said, can you drink the cup that I drink? Because unless you can walk the walk I walk and drink the cup that I drink, and it's not mine to give who sits on the right hand or on the left hand. But here's what I want you to see in this. Because Jesus says to them when he has that last supper, he says to them, I will not eat and drink with you again until I eat and drink with you where? In the kingdom of God, or in the kingdom, when I will eat with you again. When he's about to sit down, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when he's about to sit down on the fire and he's got bread and fish on the fire already, my guess is Peter and John, one's on the left and one's on the right, and he says, you want to know, folks, what the kingdom looks like. It looks like a whole lot like sitting around a fire with bread and fish on it, just sharing the message of the cross. That's what the kingdom looks like. You want someplace important to sit? Just sit down beside somebody and start to share with them about Jesus. And if you share with them about the kingdom of God, how many know the kingdom of God will come to them? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you're looking for position, if you're looking for a place to sit, if you're looking for prestige, it might look like an old hard rock out along the seashore with a fishing pole in your hand or a net or a boat and telling somebody about Jesus. Hallelujah. Telling somebody about how you come to know the person of Jesus Christ in your life. Hallelujah. How many know the biggest part of the preaching that happens in our world does not come from this pulpit? It comes from your mouth. It comes from your witness. It comes from your testimony. I can only tell you what I know to be true to myself. I can only tell you what Jesus did for me. I can tell you that he can deliver you from the struggles or the chains or the bondages in your life because I've seen it happen. I've experienced it. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, the disciples did not have to work for a message. They did not have to study up to tell what people to say when they got to church on Sunday. But when they walked to the gate beautiful, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I don't come telling you something I heard. I come telling you something I have seen. I come telling you something I have experienced. How do disciples cause people to stand up and walk? They saw it happen. Hallelujah. They were there when he healed the blind man. They were there when the lame man walked. They were there when they tore the roof off the house and let him in. They were there when the crooked woman stood up straight. They were there when the woman with an issue grabbed a hold of his garment and was made whole. That is the gospel. Hallelujah. Just tell them what you know. Tell them what you've seen and tell them what you have experienced. It's the greatest message that we can ever preach. Hallelujah. And so while they're all sitting there still trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing and how all this stuff is going to pan out and how all this stuff is going to happen, because what they knew is life had changed. I mean, you know, there's been a shift in how they're doing church now. Up to this point, they're hanging with Jesus all the time. They're just the backup guys. They're just part of the crew. They're just there. But all of a sudden, when Jesus kneels down in front of them and he begins to wash their feet, I told you before, to wash the feet of us of another was to elevate them to a place higher than yourself, because the lowest servant of the house, the lowest servant of the house washed the feet. What Jesus was saying is, I'm elevating you to a place even higher than this, because he begins to tell them that greater things than these shall you do. How many know he's setting them up for ministry? He's setting them up to turn the world upside down. He says to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." Hallelujah. I just am going to be foolish enough to make a bold statement here this morning. Take a deep breath. I still believe that applies to us today. Amen. I am just foolish enough to believe that God is still healing, that God is still delivering, that God is still saving, that he still can cleanse the leper, he can raise the dead, that he can cast out devils. Hallelujah. You know, Jim shared an awesome word on Wednesday night, and he talked about that, you know, God is a good lion, but he's not tame. Amen. If you ever seen Chronicles of Narnia, God is a good lion, but he's not a tame lion. Pastor Jack was a good lion, but he was not a tame lion. Hallelujah. I've seen him lay hands on people and cast devils out of them. I've seen spirits go. I've seen it happen. I know it still works. Amen. I know we have the power of God. The reason I know we can still do it is because I witnessed it and saw it done. Hallelujah. And so had I been thrown into a situation that we got put in then one time. How many know we went to, you know, just long story short, we went to a camp and there was a girl there that needed a deliverance. Hallelujah. And I was not afraid. I knew that those things had no power over me because I had seen it. I had witnessed it. And the scripture says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. And so they're in a place and in a state where they say, and how will all of this work and come together for us? And I love this because it was Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James and John, and two other disciples. I don't know if they couldn't remember their name or if it just didn't matter who they were. History says that they think it was Andrew and Philip. Andrew, Simon's brother, and Philip who brought Nathaniel to Jesus. It really doesn't matter. But how many know they're back in the ship? And sometimes, you know, I've said this before, sometimes when we do things a certain way, and their life had been so ordered by the Lord for so many days and so much time, and when the transition starts to happen, when the change starts to take place, and you don't know where to go from here, the tempting thing to do is to go back to what was comfortable. Go back to what you used to know. Amen? But all of a sudden, we find out when you try to go back to what you used to know, what you used to do, it doesn't work anymore. Hallelujah. Now, these are professional fishermen. Professional fishermen know how to fish. I understand that amateur fishermen know how to fish. I've seen some big fish last week. Amateur fishermen, hallelujah, they know how to fish. The worst thing that can happen is if you go fishing and you don't catch any fish and somebody says, did you catch any fish? That's where all those fish stories come in and everybody says, no, the big one, it got away, right? So in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But in the morning, everybody say morning. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, hey guys. If there was somebody standing beside him, he would have said, hey, watch this. Hey, guys, you got any meat? Did you catch anything? And their response was, no, not a thing. No fish. Do you have any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, well, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Jesus' proclamation to them was, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I mean, you know, he took who they were. He took their talents. He took their abilities. And he said, I'm going to take who you are, and I'm going to make you a disciple. I'm going to make you a leader. I'm going to make you a soul winner. I'm going to make out of you, with your talents, your abilities, your callings, what I desire to do in your life. And so when he says to them on the shore, he says, do you have any meat? And they said, no. He said, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And the scripture says, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And so he says to them, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And the scripture says, and when he did, they caught so many fish that they could not hardly drag the net in. And something about that experience rings a bell in John's head, and he says, that is the Lord. It is the Lord. I think about that, and my son-in-law said to Beth one time, it's something God had, you know, something had happened then, was that a blessing that had come, and he says to her, he said, "You know what your dad would say?" And she said, "What?" He'd say, "That's God." I mean, no, that's what the disciples in the boat are saying. That's God right there. Hallelujah. How many know when you have toiled all the night, you have done everything that you know to do. You have fished on the left side of the boat. You have fished on the right side of the boat. You've changed the bait. You've worked. You've toiled. You've struggled. You stressed. You've tried everything you knew to try, and it's not happening. Hallelujah. How many are glad that tomorrow is a brand new day? Said they had toiled all the night, but in the morning. I mean, you know, sometimes weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So whatever you've been casting your net for, and it looks like it's coming up empty, I just challenge you today to listen for the voice. And when you hear the voice of your master speaking, if you obey that voice and you'll cast it one more time, if you'll dare to believe one more time, if you'll dare to cast out that net at the sound of his command or the sound of his voice, the scripture said, and when they dared to try it one more time, because I'm sure the grumbling in the boat was, we already tried the right side of the boat. We tried the left side of the boat. We are professional fishermen here. We know how to fish. But there was a moment back before when Jesus had stepped into their boat, and because the multitude was so crowded and there were so many people on the shore, he said, launch out a little bit. And he taught the people from the boat who were on the shore. And when they got out into they had just come in from fishing all night and catching nothing. And they put Jesus into the boat this time, and they go out into the waters. And Jesus said to them, launch out into the deep and cast down your nets for a harvest, for a draught. And they said, Lord, we have fished all the night and we've caught nothing, but at the sound of your voice, we will cast again. Hallelujah. We will cast our nets again. And the scripture said, and when they cast their nets again, they brought in so many fish that they could not hardly drag them in. And Peter said, depart from me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. This must be the Messiah. I have never seen anything like this. You got to be God in the flesh. Hallelujah. How many know when you see God demonstrate himself right in the midst of your circumstances, you can do nothing else but say, that is God. Hallelujah. And so their mind goes back to a moment on another shore, on another day when Jesus had spoke and they brought in the nets full of fish. And when John sees this and sees the net is full, they bring the net in. And the scripture says it is so full that they cannot hardly contain all the fish, but the net did not break. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us there was 153 fish in the net. It was a big net. Big fish. Channel cats. Wide mouth bass. I don't know what they were catching, but that was a lot of fish. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people, I want to know why not 150. Why not 155? Why 153? Does the net only hold 150 and 153 put you over the top? I don't really know. There's something behind that. Hallelujah. But how many know it's the number of harvest and bounty and all of those kind of things? But it even gives them the number of fish. And it says, and there were all kinds of fish in there. Hallelujah. That there were 153 nations and that God will draw fish from every nation. That works for me. Hallelujah. Because what I love about this story, it says, and there were fish, there were all kinds of fish, all sizes and all kinds of fish. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to snap your mind back, because we're not catching fish here. They brought in fish, but remember what Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Can I tell you, if you will dare to believe, we won't have to worry about filling our churches. Our nets will be full and they will not break. Hallelujah. And there will be fish of every kind and of every size in the net. And we will have the ability to bring them to Jesus just where he wants them at. Hallelujah. Stop being professional Christians.
You have to go after the fish. When Jesus tells you what side to go on that side.
Amen.
It might not be the side you want on, but if that's the side God tells you to go on, then that's where you're going to reap your harvest.
Amen.
That's where your fish are going to come in. But we can't be professional Christians and sit in our four walls and pretend like there's no world out there that's going to hell in a handbasket. Pretend that there's nobody out there that nobody cares about everybody that's out there. When we stop being professional Christians and start really being fishers of men, hallelujah, we'll see a harvest.
Hallelujah. Amen. And he says, and he brought the men of every kind. And something about the way he spoke, he says, that is the Lord. That sounded a whole lot like the tone of voice that said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It says, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saying unto them, come and dine. So he says to them, when they get to the shore, guess what? He doesn't even need their fish. He's already got bread and fish on the fire. I didn't need you to respond to my command for me. I needed you to respond to my command for you. Hallelujah. See, that's what we got to understand. I don't need, he wasn't saying to them, throw it on the right side of the fish on the ship because I'm hungry and I need fish. I mean, he already had bread and fish on the fire. He was saying to them, I don't need you to respond to my command for my need. I need you to respond to my command for your need. Hallelujah. And when you realize the faithfulness of God in your life to meet your need, see, you can work yourself and toil. They said, we have toiled all the night. We have worked and sweated and labored and tried to make this happen. But at the sound of your voice, we will let down the net. Hallelujah. He didn't need their bread. He said, bring to me of what you have brought. But he already had bread and fish on the fire. The provision was already there before the need ever even had happened. Hallelujah. The provision was in place. The provision was there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And how many know that the net that brings them in is you and I joined together, orchestrated, connections. Hallelujah. Being joined together and connected. Hallelujah. To reach out, as Pastor Shirley said, to every side of the ship, both sides of the ship. Hallelujah. To reach out to every creature, to every nation, to bring them in to the shore. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. How many know it was the third day that the disciples had seen Jesus? Hallelujah. We're going to come to an understanding of that third day and what that the finished work was already standing on the shore when he said to them, hallelujah, cast your net on the right side of the ship. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. How many know he settled there? They had worked all night, the scripture said, but come morning, hallelujah, they saw Jesus. And when Jesus began to speak in the midst of their circumstances, in the midst of their struggles, in the midst of their occupations, in the midst of their careers, in the midst of their lives, in the midst of their confusion, in the midst of everything that was happening on, Jesus makes himself real to them. Hallelujah. And then he sets down by the fire, hallelujah, with them in company, and he begins to share with them the kingdom of God. Yeah, John, James, you want to sit on the right side and the left side? Pull up a rock. Looks a whole lot like a campfire on a shore by the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus made himself real to every one of them. And they knew him and understood him and saw the power of God again in their life that he had demonstrated so many times over and over again, the power of God in their life and his faithfulness to make himself real and tangible and available to them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God is available to you? He's a touchable. Hallelujah. He's a touchable God. He told Thomas, touch me, handle me, see me. I'm the real deal. It's the real thing. Hallelujah. Touch me, handle me, see me. I am an available God. Hallelujah. And he makes himself real to them there by the seashore. That's a whole lot of what the kingdom of God looks like. Hallelujah. That's a whole lot of what the kingdom of God looks like. Pull up a rock. Find somebody to share Jesus with. Hallelujah. Find somebody to share Jesus with and let them sit on one on the left hand and one on the right hand and share the gospel. Amen? Yep. Hallelujah. When Jesus speaks into your life, things happen. Things change. Amen? There is a harvest to be harvested. Hallelujah. There is a net to be filled and to be brought to Jesus. Hallelujah. Your mission field begins when you leave these doors today. Amen? You don't have to go to Africa to be in a mission field. You don't have to go, and bless God, if you want to go. If God calls you to go there, go. Go to all the world. Go to the nations. Hallelujah. Go to the nations. But your mission field happens when you leave here. Jim Lacey says, go into the streets of Yuma, Arizona, and make disciples. Hallelujah. Go into the streets of Berkeley Springs and make disciples. Hallelujah. Amen. Make disciples. God bless you this morning.